Yeah, so while y'all are getting coffee and getting situated, we were planning on meeting outside this morning, but it's supposed to rain, and it's going to be, as y'all know, it's really pretty cold outside, so we decided to come inside for today. I am really grateful. We're about to be going over just prayer, what prayer looks like, and I know most of us are like seminary students, or we've been Christians for a while, and we know a lot of these different things, but I was just even thinking this morning how we even taking the Lord's Supper and doing something like that, we need reminders, and we can always grow in these different ways. And so I'm thankful, really thankful for God's Word. Just I think it's Psalm 86, or I was just praying a different psalm the other day of just show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths, guide me in your truth, and teach me, Psalm 25. And just, we're not aimless. We don't have to try and figure out how to pray. We don't have to try and figure out how to live the Christian life. God has spoken to us in a way that we can understand, which is amazing. And so, anyways, all that to say, we're going to be going over a prayer series the month of January. Today, I will be teaching us kind of a prohibition on prayer. Basically, the message is going to be titled, How Not to Pray. So, just looking at some of the ways in Scripture that God says, do not pray like this. And I want to be clear this morning, it's not going to be like a do this, don't do this type of thing. I really long for us in this time to just examine our hearts and motives in our prayers, and to live in the grace of God as He reveals ways that we should not pray to Him. So this isn't a, you know, condemning in different ways. This is, I'm learning and we're all learning and wanting to just move forward and how we should not pray, how we should put things down that we have so often taken up in prayer. And so we're going to be briefly looking at two passages, and there's a myriad of other passages we could look at, but two main passages of what we're going to be looking at today, Luke 18, 9 through 14, and then Matthew 6. And I just want to put the presupposition before we go into this of just, we're not going to talk on James 1, 5 through 8. There's things where James says, don't pray with unbelief. So kind of a big presupposition into going all this is pray with faith. We need to pray with faith, not unbelief, not being a double-minded man or woman in our prayer. So that's kind of just a backdrop to what we're going to be talking about today. So so before we get into this, let's pray together, and then we'll get into Luke 18, 9 through 14 first. So let's pray. God, I pray that you will please help us, Lord. We're just even the last song, I think it was, that we sang, just how I'm prone to weakness or prone to self-exalting. Lord, I am so wicked in my heart so many times that the old man in me, my flesh, wants to even try and be prideful through humility and different things like that, Lord, where our flesh is so wicked and we can take something beautiful, talking to you, Lord, speaking to God, and turn that into something for our own self, Lord. God, please guard us from just false motives in prayer. Lord, please guard us from different ways, different landmines in our own hearts, Lord, that we would not despair over these things. When you do reveal these things to us, I hope that you do reveal more things to us, just as you've revealed to me this week. But God, that we wouldn't despair in that, but that we would throw it up to you, cast it to you, Lord. And you say you're a burden carrier. You can carry our burdens. And so, Lord, help us see our hearts and then come before you in praise because of your grace towards us, God. And I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke 18, 9 through 14. So while the main point of this passage is ultimately about humility, we can look in the text to just draw out some major points concerning prayer. So the main thrust of this passage is about humility, but there are serious takeaways we can have from prayer or how not to pray in this. So all of us are probably familiar with this text. So Luke 18, 9 through 14, let's read it. He, being Jesus, also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So the context of this passage, is very simple. Jesus had just finished the parable about the persistent widow's prayer. So Jesus had just finished teaching them, we need to go to God persistently. We need to come to him continually. And so that's immediate context right before this. And now he's talking to probably the Pharisees, based on the context that a Pharisee is in this parable and different things. So he's probably talking to Pharisees, definitely self-righteous people. And so there are so many. I was studying this passage and I was just like, oh my goodness, I couldn't talk about everything in this. There are so many points that we could draw, but I just want to give us one kind of main thrust seen in this this prayer, this parable. And that one thing is, we are not to pray with a self-righteous posture to God or an unloving attitude towards others. We are not to pray with a self-righteous posture to God or an unloving attitude towards others. So verse 9 says, Jesus also taught this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. So Luke highlights the audience of Jesus's parable. They were self-righteous, unloving people who were most likely Pharisees based on this parable. And so that's kind of the Luke showing the audience. And then going into the prayer, I want to look at the prayer as well, verses 10 through 12. Listen to the Pharisee's prayer. Jesus says, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. This is his prayer. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. So I wanted to just take a quick comparison of the two prayers, the Pharisees and the tax collectors. And again, there's so many different things we could look at, but just three things from the Pharisee and then two observations of the tax collector. So the Pharisee refers to himself five times in his prayer, and four of the five times he was highlighting how righteous he was. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. So it's very, very me-centered, right? Second, he thanked God for how he was not like other sinful people, including the tax collector, in his own midst. He didn't pray for the tax collectors to grow in holiness or in conviction to the sinfulness of his thievery from the Israelites, because the tax collectors did. They a lot of times took for themselves. They weren't even allowed to testify in a court of law because they were just not. They weren't people that were upstanding citizens at all. So he thanks God that he's not like this wicked tax collector, right? The third thing in this passage that you may not even see sometimes, the Pharisee didn't ask God for anything. He's just telling him how thankful he is that he's so great, you know? And so he doesn't ever say, God, I need this, or something along those lines. He just talks about how he thanks God that he's this and that, and where he's talking about himself, highlighting himself, but he never asks for anything. So that's the Pharisee's prayer. I want to go over the tax collector's prayer in verses 13 through 14, really just before and after that as well. Jesus zooms out after the Pharisee's prayer, and he says, "But the tax collector, standing far off," they're both in the temple, "would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.'" So, comparing two quick things to the Pharisee's prayer, the tax collector actually mentions himself twice in his really short prayer, which is actually more if you take the words and like divide it up. He refers to himself more than the Pharisee, but contrary to the Pharisee, both times he mentions himself, he is referring to how much he desperately needs God. So he refers to himself in the third person, a sinner, and then he refers to himself in the first person, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so he's talking about his need for God, but he highlights himself, but really mentioning his need for God. So that's the first thing. Second thing, instead of thanking God that he wasn't worse than some other tax collectors who took more money from Romans, from the Jews, the Israelites, or that he wasn't as wicked as some other person than himself, he humbly, it says, not even looking up to heaven, beating his breast, he humbly and reverently asked God for mercy. When I was going over this, I thought about, actually when I was like 17, probably, I remember hearing David Platt talking about something. I think I was in my car or something, and he was talking about how he was in a foreign country, I think, just working this ministry, doing this ministry among needy people or something. And he looked out and he said he was embarrassed to even say this, but I'll never forget. He said he looked out and he said, "Man, I bet God is really glad that I'm on his team, that I'm getting to distribute all these different things, and all these people are just so fortunate, and God is so fortunate that I'm on his team." David Platt, right? Like, most humble guy you'd ever see, saying something like that. And when he said that, I just thought about myself and how I have had the exact same types of thoughts just subtly come through my mind as I'm doing, as I'm ministering to somebody, as I'm doing, even doing something like preaching or something like this, and thinking, "Man, I bet God is so glad that I'm on his team." The totally self-sufficient, sovereign God of the universe, I bet he is glad that I'm on his team, right? How backwards of a viewpoint. Refuge, if we have a self-righteous, self-sufficient heart, our prayers will follow suit naturally. This Pharisee went to the temple with this heart, and that's how his prayers came out. We see this in his prayer again because he mentions himself multiple times in his prayer, all with self-righteous overtones, and he thanked God that he was not like other sinful people. He didn't even pray for others. He just thanked God that he wasn't like them. And y'all, while we may not say exactly what the Pharisee said, how many times have we done this in a subtle way of praying for someone who has just fallen into sin or done something that they shouldn't have or failed in some way, and in the back of our minds, while we're praying for them, we're thinking, "I would never do something like that," or "I can't believe that Christian person did that. I could never see myself doing something so foolish or stupid." And although we may not explicitly say that out loud, how many times do we think we're just inherently more righteous than other people around us? Or do we have subtle ways of thinking that God should be, again, glad that we are on his team when we come before him in prayer? Do our personal prayers have overtones of, "Thank you, Lord, that I am not like other sinners," or, "God, thank you that I give more than I have to"? What is in our hearts when we come before God in prayer? And while I know, many times we're kind of fearful to fall into a prosperity gospel when we ask God for things, when we're asking Him to do different things for us. Do we ask Him for anything? Do we ask God for anything? Again, this Pharisee was not worried about asking God for anything because he was self-sufficient. He doesn't need God to give him anything. He's got it figured out. And so I know we can get into a mindset of thinking, I don't want to be, you know, going into this prosperity gospel, just asking God for different things. And I don't think that's what God is wanting us to do. But Jesus says, ask, seek, knock. He even says in the passage, if you then who are evil, like fathers, parents who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? James saying, you have not because you ask not. We need to look into our prayer life and really look and see, are we only just talking about? And I know it just sounds like so out there and so far pharisaical where we're thinking, man, I would never do something like that. That's totally out there. Like, I would never say, and most of us wouldn't. We wouldn't say in our prayer, God, I thank you that I tithe more than Cody this week or something like that. You know, something like that. It's really, we don't do stuff like that. But do we think these things in the back of our minds? Where are our hearts when we are praying to God? Are we asking God who generously gives to us, who cares for us? This God who cares for us. Do we ask Him for good gifts, grace to make it through the day? We're weak people. Do we thank Him, not just asking Him for gifts, thanking Him all these different things, but do we really seek God in prayer? Or is it just when we come to Him that we are telling Him things that we are doing good at? I hope that we have hearts like the tax collector in our prayers, that we would humbly come before God, realizing our desperate need for Him, even as redeemed children, our desperate need for God. Let us not think we are any better than others around us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and the only reason we were rescued from our previous state was because of the grace of Jesus in our lives. Let us guard ourselves from self-righteousness and prideful praying. It is a miserable way to live, and it's a futile way to pray. So something we can get from this passage is this just one passage, one thing. There's so many different things we could look at, but that one thing, we should not pray with a self-righteous, prideful posture towards God or an unloving attitude towards others. So that's the first thing. And the second passage, and we may end a little bit early. I want to give us a little bit of time just to really search our hearts and look into our hearts as we're here together and as we're kind of starting a prayer series of how to pray, what to pray, what, all these different things. But we're going to look at one more passage, Matthew 6:5-6. And I just want to draw something really simple, just a simple prohibition concerning prayer out of this text. So Matthew 6:5-6. Jesus saying, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So I was thinking about this, just how to kind of illustrate this in my mind. And so picture we're just servants. Picture servants going, they're in Thailand or some country that there's a monarchy, there's a king. And picture all these servants who are just in desperate need. They really need provision. They're struggling with food, finances, all these different things, just economic turmoil and all sorts of different turmoil from their land. And they go to the king. They go into his presence, and they go to the king, and they all bow before the king. And then they look at each other, but they're saying the king's name. They're mentioning, oh, king, can you do this for us? Do this, do these different things. But they're looking at one another, and they're really kind of talking to one another, but they're saying his name. They're saying the king's name. And then even in at the same time, they're trying to almost impress one another by mentioning more things about the king that maybe other people in the crowd don't know about. They're talking about their experiences with the king, and they're talking to each other, but they're actually naming the king. They're saying his name in their request, and they're just all doing this back and forth. All of them are just saying the king's name, but they're looking at one another, and they're talking to one another as they're saying these different needs. And Refuge, how many times when we come together in corporate prayer to our great and glorious King, how many times do we have the propensity to talk to other believers around us instead of actually talking to God Himself? Do we come together in prayer and pray certain things to impress other believers around us who may know more theology than us, trying to show them we know some stuff, or do we pray to impress people with a higher academic degree than us, or even to impress those who may look up to us, someone who may not know as much, so you're kind of flaunting your knowledge to them? Or can we simply pray at other believers who are in prayer settings with us? Praying about maybe something like, say, kindness in the presence of someone who was maybe rude to you at some point so that they can know that they were wrong, instead of actually going to the person like Jesus commanded in Matthew 5 and Matthew 18 and lovingly telling them that they hurt you. Refuge, the bottom line is that we cannot pray to others when we come before our God in prayer with one another. Jesus is not, and again, Jesus says after this, he says, go and pray in your room in private. Jesus is not condemning corporate prayer, though, here either. He prayed in front of a crowd when he broke the bread in front of the 5,000. He prayed in front of them. The disciples in Acts 4 prayed together corporately. So he's not saying, don't pray together. He's really getting to the heart of the matter. You're doing this to be seen by others. When we pray to be seen by others, we are in essence praying to other people and not to God. Do we pray to God in public and private settings, or do we mainly pray to others in public and private settings? Even in private settings, we are just so deceitful. We can be thinking of other people as we're praying and thinking, yeah, they don't pray like this, or I'm doing this, and we desperately need God in prayer to change our hearts. And so, Refuge, I hope that we are a church, that we will be a church that collectively and privately comes before God in desperate prayer, not for the glory of one another or to try and convict one another, be the Holy Spirit for others, but because we collectively realize our desperate need for our good and gracious King who cares for us and loves us to answer our prayers. Really and truly, that analogy is not a stretch. I think it's simpler than it really has to be, or even our state is more desperate than theirs. Economic, we are in a spiritual battle and economic or whatever battle continually. We desperately, let's not play foolish games and trying to impress other servants. Let's come before the King who can actually, who hears our prayers, who loves to hear our prayers, and beg before Him to help us in our time of need, and provision, physical provision, for mental health, for spiritual health, these different things, coming before Him and asking Him. He loves to give us good gifts. He enjoys giving us things. It's not a burden to Him. So, Refuge, we should not pray with a self-righteous, prideful posture towards God or an unloving attitude towards others. And we must not pray to others around us, but to God alone. So I want to give us just a few minutes of time before even we take the Lord's Supper. I'd like to just take a few minutes, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper, and I would like to just pray for a little bit together, just in our hearts, asking God, I've got three things to just ask the Lord to reveal in our hearts if it is there, if you see that in your heart, or if you don't even see it and you're asking God, please show me it. First one is, if we have the tendency to see in our hearts self-righteousness and pride when we pray to God, let's just ask Him to show us that. If we don't even see that in ways, that first point right there, God really was convicting me over, of just praying to be heard by others, you know, and praying to other people instead of to God. So first, asking God if there is any self-righteousness or pride in our hearts. Second, if you struggle to pray to other people so that you can receive glory from others, ask God to cleanse your heart from that as well. And third, I didn't mention this fully inherently in the message, but ask God to reveal prayerlessness in your heart as well. I think that's one of the ultimate expressions of pride to God, of it's just saying, I don't need you. Paul saying, pray about everything, continue steadfastly in prayer, and us just not praying. I was even reminded, Joshua 9, Joshua, basically they had come into the land of Canaan, they'd come into the promised land, and God had told them, destroy all these nations because they will cause you to fall into idolatry. Destroy them. Don't spare any. And Joshua, there's this point where these rulers see that Joshua is destroying places, all these different kingdoms, and that they realize they need to go fool them. And so they act like their bread is really old, their saddles are really old, and they go before Joshua and deceive him. And they make him think that they're from a distant land, that they're not from Canaan, and they get him to make a covenant with him. And in there's this little phrase that the author of Joshua put in that. It says, they did not ask counsel from the Lord. Joshua thought that his intuition and his wisdom of seeing these different things, hearing these things, he was smart enough to figure it out. And y'all, we have got that. Let that not be of us. Refuge Church did not ask the counsel from the Lord. They did not ask counsel from the Lord. Let us be a church that asks counsel from the Lord. So asking God to give you, to show you if there is prayerlessness in your heart. So again, the first thing, asking Him to show you pride, self-righteousness. Second, ask Him to show you if you're praying to others instead of the King. And then lastly, asking God to show you if there is prayerlessness in your heart, and giving these things to Him, throwing these things up to Him in this time of just prayer and silence. And so I'm going to let us just pray, and then I'll come back up here, or someone will come back up here and do the Lord's Supper for us and lead us in that. So let's pray together.